We're teaching our subject again on John's letters to the church, and which is dealing with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And last week we were spending our time looking into the area of John's warnings. John warned the church about false teachers and heresy. And when we use the term heresy, E.W. Bind said that heresy was self-willed opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of the truth. And he said it leads to sects. In other words, there's divisions within the church. There would be different groups, splinter groups. And if you ever check it out, you know, there's many different groups that we have today that have existed for numbers of years are breakoffs from the truth. I mean, you take the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they all started off in Christianity and ended up breaking off. Wow, they got into other teachings, they got into other things. You know, what we have today is Mormons. They got off into a thing where they followed a guy named Smith, and he said he saw an angel, and an angel told him all this stuff. And, you know, they found the, here back just a few years ago, this writings that he said, this papyrus that he found, an Egyptian papyrus, and this angel, what was his name, Moroni or something like that, or Mahoney or something. He was an angel. And anyhow, this angel came and told him all this stuff and gave him this book, this writing, this papyrus. Well, here up in Chicago, I think it's in Chicago, at some museum, they found it, the writings. And when they found the writings, they aren't at all what he said they were. They turned out that this thing was not anything that he said about what these writings were. But anyhow, they went off into there and they got off into those things. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they got into their beliefs because their leaders, way back years ago, I'm not quite sure the date time. It's in early 1900s somewhere. They predicted that Jesus Christ was coming, you know, at a certain time, and he didn't show up. So they made a second prediction, and he didn't show up. And I'm not sure if they made a third one or not. I know they made a number of two or three predictions, and anyhow, it didn't work out. So what they did is they, instead of saying, hey, you know, we missed it, we got it wrong, they went, turned around, said the 144,000 were taken. Well, the 144,000 in the book of Revelation ain't got nothing to do with the taking of the church. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. But number, they got their believers to believe this, that the 144,000, that's what happened. And they started, and what happened, see, receiving that error, then they started changing things. And so that's how they ended up. And what they did is those heresies got in. And they ended up dividing things up, and people follow off. And we have people today say, well, this group, they're Christian, and this group's Christian. No, they're not Christian. Neither of those groups believe who Jesus Christ really is. They don't believe what the Bible says he really is. They don't believe it. You know, they don't believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They believe he was a Son of God. I mean, if you go over and look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. Well, the Bible, we know this, Lucifer was an angel. So that would, so you know, then Jesus would have been an angel. Well, that you can't do that. You can't be born again. You ain't going to go to heaven believing that. It's just that simple. So you ain't going to see them there. When people believe that, they ain't going to be there. They can sit and do all the nice things they want and everything, but that's not the way of life. That's not the way of truth. So those things get in. And these are the things he was talking about. And what we did is I went over in 1 John to the second chapter, and we read down through the verses 23 through 27, where John had written in 1 John, the second chapter, 24, yeah, where 24 says, therefore let this that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, he told them the things he said from the beginning, well, what he taught them. In other words, when they came to these people and they preached the gospel to them, he said that what we preached to you, basically who Jesus Christ was, which in the beginning of his letter he talked about that, who Jesus Christ really is. He said, if that's in you, then you're going to abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. In other words, eternal life comes through believing like John believed who Jesus was. And I will guarantee you what John would have said. If you don't believe like I believe on this subject, you ain't. You don't got eternal life. You're not having that. And then he made this statement. He says, "These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." Wow, there's people out here trying to deceive us on who Jesus really is. And then we talked about last week where it says, "The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." And the anointing, we talked about that. That doesn't mean that we don't listen to teachers and preachers and things like that, because God, we know, put them here in the Word. Paul wrote and said that that they're put in for perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, we're not going to get perfected without gifts. God anoints people to teach and preach. That's what John wrote this letter, and teaching and preaching. John had taught and preached these people. Weren't they supposed to listen to him? Well, they weren't supposed to listen to him. How do you keep things straight? Nothing ever stays straight. But anyhow, so when people use this thing and say, "I don't need to be taught," that's not what this is talking about. Because he told them to stay in line with what they were taught from the beginning. Why? Because that's what the anointing is going to teach them. The anointing ain't going to teach them something else. The anointing is not going to teach them Jesus isn't who they said he was. And so he was doing that. We went over then to where we went into to teaching into Peter. And we went to 2 Peter in the second chapter. And we started reading, and I said we were going to go through the entire chapter. We went partway down through it, and we went partway through the chapter and stopped, began in our teaching. But John had said that these ones are come, well, they want to deceive, and deceive means attempt to evil or doing wrong. They want to deceive people, get people off course of what's true and what's right. And we began to look, because Peter also wrote about, because see, they're dealing with these things, with these issues, because of people being coming in and teaching. We're going to find out there's a lot said from a scriptural standpoint about this kind of stuff. You know, Paul wrote and told on, you know, in the last days what people were going to become like, what they're going to get to be like. And he wrote it in the last days, the way people are going to be. We need to realize that we're under a day and a time of a lot of pressure going on, a lot of different things being taught and preached. Spirit of Antichrist is running rampant. And whether people like to hear it or not, it has gotten into the church world, and its doctrines are being taught in the church world. And its end result is to deny who Jesus said who he is. That's the whole point. In chapter 2 of Peter, I'm going to start reading down through it, just so we can go back over to where we were on this. It says, "But there were false prophets." This is speaking concerning the Jews in their day, back of Israel. It said, "But there were false prophets among the people." He said, "Even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." In other words, the Lord, you know, they come in secretly. We talked about they come in secretly. They don't come right in. You don't know up front. They don't come and tell you that, you know, "I don't really believe like you do." You know, I've heard, you know, over time people say, "Well, I believe like you do." And I'd say, "Well, what do you believe? I don't know. I don't know who you are. You say you believe like me? Do you really?" You know, those times people don't even really know what you believe. And they'll act like, or people come and say, "I'm a Christian too." Well, what does that mean, Christian too? Am I a Christian one? I don't know. No, you're a Christian too? Well, what do you mean, you're a Christian? Because, see, the term Christian is just thrown out there so much today. And people just take for granted, they believe that the individual believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've known loads of people I've run into said they were Christians, and they don't believe Jesus Christ is Lord. They've never confessed Him as Lord. They never believed God raised Him from the dead. They don't have none of that. They use the term, "I'm a Christian." It's because, you know, they walked past the door of a church one time, or, you know, they sat on a pew sometime, or they may have been born and raised and taken to church. But that doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. And it, especially from the things that John wrote. But we're going to find out, and you need to understand this, the warning of John is the fact that these deceivers, these people, they're going to be in the church. They're in the church. He's not talking about they're out here just in the world. He says, Many will follow their destructive ways. Many. "Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." The reason they're going to follow it is because the way is blasphemed. It says, "By covetousness," these ones, "will exploit you with deceptive words." And we talk about covetousness. The Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. It's the same thing. And covetousness is the love of stuff. It's the love of things, money, stuff, you know, always wanting things. And really, that's what they're going to do. I mean, today, man, money's at the forefront of everything. Man, people want money's right up front on all things. And we you have to watch that because that's part of the deception. You know, the idea, you know, people get today in ministry, you know, well, just, you know, the money to do ministry is fine, money to do ministry, but it can't be the upfront thing of ministry. It can never be. And so it says, the covetous, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. In other words, you know, these people that believe today, well, God loves everybody and everybody's going to be saved. Gee, Peter didn't believe that. See, this one thing we need to understand. Peter and John walk with Jesus. And in fact, if you go over and read Peter, Peter is teaching them also the things that the Lord commanded them. You need, when we read Peter and John and stuff, we're reading direct teachings that Jesus gave them. Jesus taught this stuff. Jesus taught this stuff. Boy, it sure ain't taught in the church today. Don't talk about it. But Jesus taught them this stuff. That's what they went out and preached and bearing witness of him and the things that he taught. John said, you know, they're telling us the things that he commanded. So here we find out that, you know, these individuals that sneak into the church, and they're in the church, their outcome, he said, in other words, God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah or the ungodly of the day of Noah, and he ain't going to spare them either. They're not going to be spared. He said, he delivered what? Righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. He's going to reserve them under punishment for the day of judgment. Do you realize that? He's going to be punishing them, and there's a day of judgment coming. Do you realize people who are dead in hell today are under punishment, but they haven't faced judgment yet? They haven't faced judgment yet. They won't face judgment till the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment. See, lots of people say, well, they're there because of judgment. No, they're not. They're there under punishment right now. But it ain't the judgment yet, because the judgment's going to get worse. Things ain't going to turn out as good. And so we won't go on and teach. We could talk about some of those things, but there's a lot of doctrine out here. It's messed up on things. It says, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise authorities. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas the angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, and these ones he's talking about, now understand, these are the people, he hasn't changed the subject. These are the false teachers and stuff that are in the church. The false teachers and their followers. He's talking about, that are in the church. These are the ones that are in, preaching these heresies, the ones who come in secretly. You know, see, what happens is, people don't see how vile and evil this stuff is. See, there's some things, like you know, people coming in and preaching stuff, and when they're, you know, changing the things about Jesus, changing the stuff about the gospel, people don't see the evil. When you see what Peter's talking about here, this is downright evil stuff. You know, to us today, evil is a guy who robbed the bank. God considers these guys the worst of the worst. The guys who intentionally pervert truth are the worst of the worst and will be under judgment much greater than people who have done other things. The bank robber. See, we have all these ideas of who we think is bad. God has a different idea about who's bad. And you go out here today and you start dealing with this stuff of who's really bad, oh my God, they'll crucify you. It's just like why they crucified Jesus. I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees look like the wonderful guys. And look at the things he said to them. And they say, let's kill him. Wow, they were the worst of the worst. But we don't have that today. Today we have all this what looks good. You know, if he looks nice, well, it's okay. But really, what's underneath all this? He goes on, but these like natural brutal beasts made to be caught and destroyed. What are they made for? To be caught and destroyed. Speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. See, he's talking to the Christians. These guys are in the church. As I said, one of the translations translates that as love feast is love feast. In other words, they come through the whole thing like, you know, yeah, yeah, we're believing what you guys believe. Yeah, yeah. And their whole thing is to be there is deceptive. They want to lead people off. Kenneth Hagin told a story about he went in one of the churches. When he first started off in ministry, he was pastoring. And anyhow, when he got over in the Spirit-filled and got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he got over among the Spirit-filled churches. And I think probably some of the churches, I think he was probably mostly in the Assembly of God churches is what he was preaching. I think that's what he was ordained under. I'm not sure. But anyhow, he got to pastor most of the churches he pastored. He didn't pastor each church probably for no more than a year or so, something like that. He was there. He wasn't a long time. But anyhow, he went to a church. And one church he went to, they did votes for pastors at churches. That's how they did their system. The congregation did a vote who they wanted. So anyhow, he got voted in as pastor of a church. And when he came to church, he went to talk to the church board. And he got the board of the church together. And this one board member come up and shook his hand and said, well, he said, congratulations. He said, you got in here. And he said, well, he said, you're here. He said, I'm going to be resigning and leaving. He said, because he said, I know I can't hide anymore. He said, I just want to tell you. He said, I ain't even a Christian. And he said, I know I can't get by you. I could get by the other ones. They didn't. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's all over out here today. Loads of ministers out here, they wouldn't know the devil if he showed up with a pitchfork and a fork tail and horns. They still wouldn't know him. They'd think just was a kid in a Halloween costume. They wouldn't know. And he said to him, I just made a decision one time. I was going to get down here and get down to this church and get down here and join these people. And I was going to get on the board of their church. And he said, I did it. He said, I ain't even saved. He said, I never was be saved. And he totally left the church. But he said, I know I can't get this past you. You know. See, you know, these spirits, and people don't realize. See, that guy operated under a spirit. And that spirit in him knew when it ran into somebody that was spiritual. The devil knows when he runs into somebody spiritual. He knows it. And he knows when he runs into somebody that don't. Demonic spirits understand that. You know? I learned a long time ago with that thing because I'd get around things and know something was wrong. I'd know something was wrong. And I'd sit around people and that stuff. My leaders, they didn't even notice anything was wrong. They didn't even know anything was messed up. They didn't even have a clue. Why? Because they're not spiritual. They're always tied to physical things. They're always tied to what looks good. Whatever comes along and anybody pats them on the back and says, you're nice and you're good, they just buy it. Somebody comes up and I don't know and pat me on the back. I tell you what, I'm leery of them right away. When you don't know me and pat me on the back and all kind of stuff, I know something's wrong. My first thing I do is check my wallet to see if it's still in my pocket. But I check things because why? It's not when you don't know somebody. You just, from the standpoint, I would think that's weird because if you don't know me, I could be somebody bad, and they're coming up. It's like, hold it! They do this to people. Something's wrong with this individual. Either they're a big baby Christian and really just sort of, you know, like people do that are babies. They're always trying to suck up with somebody, looking to get something for nothing. And you might have that, but there's something wrong, and you need to have to check these things out. And here, you know, these individuals, these people are in the church. Just like Kenneth Hagin told, he said that guy came along, he wasn't even a Christian. And he said he turned around and left the church, and he said God never did go to church. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't believe like they did. But went down there and got in. People do it all the time. I mean, think about here lately, they arrested that guy for, he was from Harrisburg, murdered another man, and turned around and he was missing for years. They've had it on the news here about a month or so ago. This guy was living in some other state someplace. Oh, he's down in Texas. He was down in Texas in a small town. He was there in the church, either on the board of the church or something like that. He's down there. It's a murder. He hid out down there, changed his name and everything. Well, you think that guy's a Christian down there? You think he's a Christian because he joined the church? Well, maybe he repented. If he'd have repented, he'd have went back and confessed of his sin. He'd have went back and told him, say, hey, I did this. I know he wasn't a Christian because you can't get saved and go hide the evil that you did. You ain't going to do that. You know, somebody, you accept Jesus, you're going to have to deal with that. You can't go hide somewhere, took on another person, stole another person's identity. Well, I mean, oh, that'd be a good thing. I mean, you're a Christian, you'd quit doing that stuff. You know? And you know what? Stupid Christians don't know if that guy'd be saved or not. You know, well, I can tell you where he's at. I can tell you. I done read the Bible. I don't need to sit and think about it. It don't have to. They say, well, you're judging. No, I'm not. The Bible tells us. It's already clear. But see, people today, anything's bought. Anything, you know, there's such lack of spirituality in the church world. In fact, I'd say most sinners probably are spiritual to most Christians, which is sad. They don't know. They don't know the difference. Sometimes, you know, as Jesus said, that the people outside the kingdom were shrewder than the people in. You know, I find sinners would question things faster than what saints would. we need to learn to be stopped, you know, and ask some questions sometimes. Here it is. But he said, okay, he made the statement here, they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception. And word carousing is, they have a translation of reveling and stuff like that. In other words, they're carousing, they're out, doing the things that the world does is basically what it is. They're following after their flesh and the pleasures of their flesh would probably more explain that. He says, in their own deceptions, he says, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children. Now, this thing, these are people that are in church. There's people. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I doubt if a congregation, you know, if you have a congregation of 1,000 people, I wouldn't think you'd have, if you have 100 of them in there, man, my God, what have you done? It's terrible. I wouldn't think anything like that. But you'll get people who come along in churches. We've had come along where people have got in and has come in and deceptive. You know, one of the things of it is happens, and I see people, which not only in the church world, but people do it out in the regular world and decisions and things that people make about other people, accepting other people. I've had over the years marriages where, you know, I had a woman one time come and say to me about her husband, and I got, you know, he is doing certain things, and she said to me about it, and I asked her, I said, well, was he doing this when you got married? And she said, yeah. Well, I said, well, what's the problem? You knew about it. Well, I thought he would change since we got married. In other words, her intentions was she married this guy to change him. Well, see, that's in a sense what they do going into a church. They go into a church to change it. That's their intent. Now, they would look at this woman and people, well, she's sort of nice. That isn't nice. That's not a nice thing to do, because what she's doing is she is trying to control somebody into something of what she wants it to be. It's not what we do as Christians. Jesus didn't turn people into what he wanted them to be to control people. That's not what he did. And we don't do that either. We don't, you know, you go into something to change it. You know, it's just I've watched Christians do this over the years, and I've watched born-again, spirit-filled people. They get born-again, spirit-filled, and they're in a church that's pretty well dead, and I'm going to stay here because God's going to use me to change this place. No, he's not. If you're not a leader of the church, you ain't going to make much of a change. Who's ever the leader is going to determine what changes take place in that. Not the person sitting on the pew. They don't make the major changes of the church. It's whoever the people are in leadership. And people have to understand it. You better know God told you to stay there. I've watched time and time again. I've watched Christians and they stay in a situation in a church. I've had them come to me and complain, "Would you please pray for me? I'm in this. God had put me in this church to stay in there." I say, "No, I ain't gonna pray for you. God put you there. You ought to be happy about that. You're in the will of God. And I'm supposed to pray because those people down there won't change." I said, "What's the matter with you? You don't really believe God put you there. You're there. You can't stand. You can't make it. You can't hold it. Let's get this to a stop right now. I ain't wasting time praying." You know, if God puts you there, keep your blab mouth shut, go there, you know, pray for them, love them, and we'll find out. We'll find out if God puts you there. Well, we know it did. See, what happens is they have this idea, and really, their intent, well, I'm going to do good. Their intent's good, but what it turns out, they ain't no good. And so we have to know that. We have people come in deceptively to change things. And you have to find that out. I always learned that to tell people concerning marriage. Make sure the other person, what's their idea? If they don't like you the way that you are, they shouldn't even be marrying you. You know, they ought to go find somebody they like the way they are. Because that deception, you know. You know, I've seen ones in that stuff too. One partner married another partner, and the partner they married, one of them was very spiritual, the other one wasn't. The one that wasn't spiritual thought they'd get married and the other person wouldn't be as spiritual, you know, and would go more what they wanted to do. And I've seen it change too, and almost every time the person who's not spiritual wins. They win. You know, I know a guy who was born again, married a woman who wasn't born again, and she absolutely controlled him. She controlled it. He didn't go to church because she would want to go to church, and she didn't want him going to church, so he ended up not going to church. He didn't do things. And he used to walk around there, and he used to work at Reese's, and he'd go around and witness to people at Reese's. And one day I called him aside and told him to shut his big black mouth. I said, "You don't go around saying nothing." I said, "You go around here talking about these people except Jesus. Why?" I said, "Your Jesus don't do you no good." He said, "You worship your wife. Your wife tells you you can't follow God, you obey. She tells you you can't go to church, you don't go to church. She tells you," I said, "you just shut up." I told him, I said, "You ain't got no God anyhow." I said, "You just blowing wind." Going around telling people, "Jesus, my God, Jesus can't help you. Why would you go tell somebody else to go follow?" You know? And he didn't have much to say after that. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. But see, that there's this thing of control, and that's why you get people come in deceptively do things. Just like with him, wouldn't surprise me that the devil set that thing up. I've watched things already where, you know, the devil tried to set people up and did. Set ministers up and set things up. Get people deceived and get things going on. So we want to be careful about those things. In verse 15, it says about these individuals, it speaks of them and says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know Balaam? Balaam was going to be paid to go prophesy, came and prophesied. You know, says Balaam was a prophet. Now, you know what? Balaam was a prophet. See, people say, "Oh, no, he wasn't a prophet of God." You know, the Bible does not say that. The Bible deals with Balaam as being a prophet. It deals with Balaam as being a prophet. And this guy knew what God was saying too. And what they wanted him to do is pay him to prophesy, to say something else other than what was right. But why did he do? The wages of unrighteousness. See, you can make good money out here and that stuff. I'll tell you what, like a lot of people, you can make good money, people say, sometimes in the ministry. Yeah, you can. You can if that's what your idea is, just getting people's money. Getting money out of their pockets. He says the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Restrained him. Now it says about these, what are they? These are wells without water. Clouds carried by a tempest for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And I mean, think about this. He's the subject here has never changed. He's talking about people that are in among the church preaching false stuff. God does not look kindly on these folk. The church has special ministries for them. Oh, yeah. Now look what he goes on. Now look at this. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. See, it's just like this deceived minister, the one there in Singapore, it's telling people you don't have to, repent of your sin. You don't have to confess your sin if you sin as a Christian. You don't have to confess your sin. You don't break fellowship with God because you sin. You just go right ahead. What does he do? That's playing on people's lusts of their flesh. Oh, I can. What are we dealing with sins? We're dealing with sins and lusts of the flesh. People following their flesh, doing things of the flesh rather than the Spirit. And he tells them, no, you go ahead. You go ahead and you do those things. And people who want to get away with fleshly things, it's just like, here, that's who he, what he's luring those ones. He says, swelling empty words. He says, through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones having actually escaped from those who live in error. In other words, he's trying to get people who live right to get over into the flesh. People who have gotten born again. He's trying to allure them. He said, for while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. For if after, now listen to this, this will shoot all this once saved, always saved junk right down the toilet. This is talking about the ones that get lured in by this teaching who are Christians. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now who's that? Now that would be born again, wouldn't it? They are again entangled in them and overcome. This talks about it's overcome. They follow this and they end up believing what these guys preach. Who what? Jesus ain't who he said he was. And they start believing it. They believe it. And are again entangled them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. He said it would have been better for them have never heard the gospel preached. In other words, they're going to be under worse punishment than the person who never accepted Christ. The guy who accepts Christ and then turns away to another belief. Not a good thing. See, somebody believes, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. The whole point of these deceivers, they're in among people who believe to try to get them over into not believing. That's the whole thing they're trying to do. That's what the devil wants. He wants to get them over into the thing. Get them over believing something else. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's not a pretty picture. It's not the fun things to preach. But you know, think about this. See, when people, it's like the Lord spoke to me some years ago and said to me about what's a positive message. He said, positive message, he said this to me, is more determined by the hearer than it is by the speaker. See, to me, this is a positive message. It's a warning to me how to protect myself. There are people out here trying to deceive me. Now, I don't want to become a skeptic, but we got to learn to listen to what's being preached and said to make sure it's true. Because it's just like they come in secretly. They don't come in your church and within a year's time have told you they don't believe in Jesus and all that. This is over long periods of time. They slowly enter their way in. It's just like today, the leadership of most of these major denominations out here that are following all the sin stuff today that say you can do anything and all this stuff, that has been going on for decades, slowly entering in, slowly bringing in wrong teaching, slowly, just like I said about back in the 70s, the homosexuals that were down in the seminary down here in Lancaster, they were already in that, they were the teachers. What do you think they were putting out? Well, I'll tell you what the leaders are of the, you know, in the Methodist churches and the different ones. Well, I, you know, in the churches, United Church of Christ, I can tell you because of what's going on today. See, it over time, it didn't happen in 2 minutes. It didn't happen in an hour, in a week, or in a month, or in a year. They slowly get their way in. They hide in among things. But they slowly bring their doctrines out. And that's why you always got to make sure. There's always things of people trying to change doctrines. Oh, we got new light. When they come over and offer you more freedom than the Word says you have, don't you buy it. You line it up with Scripture. And just because a guy pulls one Scripture out here and says it said that, especially any man wants to pull Scripture out of the Bible, definitely it ain't listening to him. That ends immediately. We don't even need to even discuss that one. So, I want to go over and look. Now, we were going to 1 John, and we're going to look at some other things on this. 1 John, the 4th chapter. We had read these before, but again, we find here with John. Tells us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There again, many. Didn't say a couple are out there. Many have gone out into the world. You know, it's, did you ever think about it? He says, many have gone out into the world. Where did they go out from? They went out from the church. They went out from. But here he says, what he says, do not believe every spirit. Now, what he's talking about, he's not talking about an individual. And we know, because remember that Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter, and he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are people that have spirits operating through them teaching stuff. They have been deceived. When Paul wrote about deceiving spirits, and this is what happens, they have an anointing. They have an anointing on them to preach a certain thing. It's amazing if you go back over and you look at Adolf Hitler and finding out that Adolf Hitler, the Nazi party knew that they couldn't weaken the church in Germany without getting in the church in Germany and without weakening the gospel. They had to do that. And that's what they started doing. They started going in and they started weakening the gospel. They started to preach another Jesus. And it weakened the gospel. And people bought it till after they found out what it really was. And then when they wanted to turn, it was too late. And see, what happens is these things, these people, they get in with their doctrine. And this is the whole thing here. They're operating under spirit. Adolf Hitler operated under a demonic spirit. He operated under the same things that we see operate in our government here today as the Antichrist spirit. We see that same Antichrist spirit. It's the same thing. It ain't no different. Look at the hatred we got today among these people telling, oh, you know, you're bad, you Christians are bad out here because, you know, you don't accept everybody and everything. What my words, what they want to do, you don't accept what we want, we won't kill you. We don't expect what we want, you need to be thrown out of this nation. You need, what are they doing? They ain't nothing but the same spirit that was the Nazis. It's the same spirit that Stalin. It's the same spirit. It ain't no different. It isn't a matter of Nazi party, Communist Party, it's a matter of demonic powers. And so he tells us that we need to operate, watch the operation of the Spirit. Where's this Spirit, this teaching that's coming from? What's it, what Spirit's this of? Is it of the Spirit of Christ or is this the Spirit, is some demonic spirit? He says, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit. Now notice he's turning, he's talking about spirit. See, when these people are doing their preaching, they're operating under a spirit. See, people just think, oh, that's just some guy talking. You hear that today, even in churches. They don't understand that people are operating under spirits. That spirits get them to believe things. Spirits get them to open up to stuff. He says, by this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, he says Jesus Christ or the Messiah. The Messiah. The Messiah has come, and the Messiah has come in the flesh. This is, you know, a direct, you know, speaking against the Gnostic teaching again here. And it says, in every spirit that does not confess, and it won't, in other words, it doesn't say it. See, different people say, well, yeah, we believe Jesus is Savior. Did he say that that's what you're supposed to find out from an individual? I'll tell you what, you can get a person under who is under demonic power, and they stand there and tell you that Jesus came and Jesus is the Savior, but they will not confess He's come in the flesh. They aren't going to. He said, "This spirits." When people operate under these spirits, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. And it says, what? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he is in the world. He's talking, you've overcome what? See, people talk about this overcoming stuff, and they act like, well, we're overcoming. It means we're going to have a lot of cars, houses, and lands. That's not what that overcoming is talking about. You have overcome them, he said. He didn't say you overcame it, or he didn't. Them what? Them spirits. You have overcome those spirits. When you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and you were born of God, you have overcome those spirits. Now you're in control. Don't go back under it. Don't go back to the stuff and start believing what they say. He said, you've overcome these spirits when you accept. In other words, you have authority over those spirits. You have authority over them, so you don't have to fear them or what they preach or what they say. You have authority or dominion over them. Those people don't have power over you. You know, as Kenneth Hagin told one time, he said he was preaching in a place and they had been really having good meetings, and this woman was so-called prophetess, and he said these ministers came to him and said, oh, this lady's prophetess so-and-so said she was going to put a curse on you. This prophetess, he's going to put a curse on you because his teaching was going against things that she taught. He wasn't trying to go against her specifically as her, but he just was teaching in the church, and his teaching from the Bible was different what she said, and she didn't like us because hers wasn't from the Bible. It was hers. Anyhow, so she said she was going to curse him. And he said, these preachers came and were all concerned. He said, well, what do I worry about? He said, she can't curse me. She can't do that. Well, they looked at him sort of dumb. You know, they didn't know. You don't have to worry about these people. They can't overtake you unless you allow them to overtake you and believe what they say. They can't do it. They can't force their will. You know, just like I heard these two dumb ladies talking. I was out at Winter Bible Seminar about 5 years ago, and I was out at Winter Bible Seminar at Rhema. And one of the night services, I came in and I was in the lobby talking to a guy, another minister I know, and we were talking, and we were standing there a while, and I heard these two ladies next to us begin talking. Now, here's two spirit-filled ladies. Now, I don't know. Here's one thing. They're born again. They probably got filled with the Holy Ghost. But just, I mean, dumb as sticks. This one woman says to the other woman, I heard when they lay hands on people to get filled with the Holy Ghost that witches come into service and they pray and people get filled with a demonic spirit. Now that's exactly opposite of what's being taught here. They're saying, oh, these people that got born again, you can't stop the devil's people from getting overtaken you. they have power over you. See, I thought, you two idiots, go around talking that stuff to people. And I'm sure they run around telling all kind of people, all kind of Christians run around afraid all the time, afraid of everything, this and that and the other. And they're afraid of all this stuff because people go around talk dumb. No, he told us here, he said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. They don't overcome you. You have overcome them. You've overcome them. So live like you've overcome them and not like they've overcome you. So don't worry about them. Here in Lebanon back some years ago, in fact, it's back in the early 80s, all these people got all upset because somebody built an altar and was doing worshiping to Satan up in Coleman's Park area, somewhere in the woods up there. And oh man, these ministers and these churches were all the buzz about talking about, all worried about somebody up there. Oh, we got to bring that to a stop. Oh, we got to, well, you know, no, they didn't realize what they were doing is preaching to people. The devil's big, our God's small. We got to get that stopped or they're going to take over us. I mean, there's always going to be junk going on out there. If you run, and that's a whole, you're going to run around and try to put out all these fires. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be the fireman. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to start a million fires, and you ain't ever going to serve Jesus. You're just going to run around serving the devil, trying to put out his little fires. That's what you're going to do. Here he told us, we've overcome them. Hallelujah. When you accepted Jesus Christ, these spirits that held us in bondage, we have overcome them. Hallelujah. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than the one that's in the world. Hallelujah. The one that's in us is greater than the one that's in the world. Don't you be afraid of this stuff. Don't, you know, I'm not afraid of these people that they'll get, people will try to get into the church and people will come in and try to do things. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. Don't you worry. You know, we see in the end times we're warned of these things, what? To protect ourselves against false doctrine. You know, they can't overtake us. They can. We can only get overtaken if we'd be dumb. We ain't going to be dumb. We're going to buy their stuff. So don't get over in those. To we don't want to be gullible, but also we do not want to become skeptics. Many people become skeptical. You know, that's what they become. They become skeptics about everything. And, we don't want to become skeptical of everything. Be smart. Judge the spirits. If you judge something, you can't judge something without taking time to look at it. It's going to take time. You don't want to judge things by not, you know, just off the spur of the moment. Unless the Spirit of God tells you something specific. You know, you'll have that. I've had that. I told a story about, you know, when the Lord has told me at times certain things. I didn't need to sit down and judge it. He judged it for me and told me. But generally, most of the time, you're not going to, it doesn't necessarily happen that way. We got to use our good sense, you know, and check things out. And so do that. Don't be afraid. Now, I want to go over and look at 2 John. There's number 2 John. This is even a shorter letter here. In 2 John, fourth verse, John writes here, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. As we receive commandment from the Father. I want you to notice how his wording is here. He said, we rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in the truth. I'm not quite sure. I never really looked at this thing here and never studied it in the Greek. But the word some in my Bible is in italics. That means it was added. It isn't in the actual translation. Now, it does not mean that it could not come up with that meaning out of it from the other Greek words. Because what they do is they look how these words were used in their context. On other writings, they look at other writings, how they're used. And that's how they determine. Because you understand, the Greek that these were translated from is a dead language. So they have to go back and look at old documents of how things were used to what their meanings were. But here he says that some, he said, I find some of your children walking in truth. So I don't know if he said, I find your children walking in the truth. I don't know, maybe that's what he said, or maybe he is saying some. But he said, of your children walking in the truth. But he says this, as we received commandment from the Father. In other words, they're walking in the truth that John and them had preached. He said, he was glad to find them walking in the truth of the commandments that they got from the Father, that they got. And that was the stuff that they're preaching. So it is tied specifically. It wasn't tied to the truth of what Ed's preaching today if Ed isn't preaching in line with what they preach. It's got to be, because, look, these guys walk with Jesus. Jesus taught them what the Father had him teach them and that stuff. And this is what they conveyed to us. He says, and he goes on, he says, now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And he goes on to say, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. I want you to see this. What did he just say? The commandments he's talking about isn't like a Ten Commandment thing he's talking about. What he's talking about is what Jesus taught them. They are teaching other people. What Jesus said that he was, and they walked with him, they saw him in the flesh, they saw him after he was raised from the dead, they saw him, you know, when he was glorified, they saw him on his ascension, he taught them. They're teaching him the things that he taught them. He said, because he made the statements, he said, up in verse 4, as we received commandment from the Father. These people are walking in the things that we taught them. He hasn't changed down here. He says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandment. In other words, He said the commandment, a Christian is not walking in love if they are, say they're a Christian and they're out here talking that Jesus isn't who He said He was. People out here today call themselves Christians and we believe Jesus is Savior. They don't believe in the virgin birth. I'm sorry. They're not walking in love. If you're not walking in the light of the Word, you can't be walking in love. How could you? It's an impossibility. See, they think walking in love means you're being nice. Yeah, you're being nice. No, it's not. If you're not walking in what's true, you ain't being nice. You ain't walking in love. He's talking about a walk and a walking in line with the commandments or the things that we're taught. We're acting in love whether people think so or not when we tell them Jesus is Lord. And we tell people that, God, He died for our sins. God raised Him from the dead for our justification. And if you call on the name of the Lord, you'd be saved. There's no other way of salvation. When we tell them, we're not acting in unlove. That's love talking. That's love. People who preach differently, people who, there's be other people in heaven. They're not walking in love because they're not telling the truth. There's no such thing as walking in love and not saying what the Bible says about something. We say what the Bible said about it. And this is what He's telling them. This is the truth. He says, this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. This is the commandment. You've heard from the beginning. Walking in love is walking in the commandments of God. That's what walking in love is. So if somebody wants to know, how do you walk in love? You follow all of the teachings of the book. That's what you do. That's love. Jesus followed the teachings. Did they all like Him and think He was walking in love? No. But He was. He had to walk in perfect love, or He'd have been in sin. Then He'd have been in the same boat you and I were in. He couldn't have saved us. So He walked in the light. So if you want to, you're walking in the light. A lot of times Christians wonder, they think of walking in love as, everybody likes you being sweet, and all this kind of stuff and everything. That's what, not if it isn't true. A person comes up, you like my new dress? Oh, yeah, that's nice, and they don't like it at all. That's called lying the last time I heard. You don't have to say, it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. You have to say that. But you say, well, that it isn't for me. If you like it, you go ahead. I don't mind saying that. I am not going to lie and tell a person I like something I don't like. Because you know what? If the person likes it, go after it. If that's what you enjoy, If you like purple and green hats, go after it. Wear them. My God. If you like it, I don't care. But I don't have to like it, do I? And that doesn't make me a bad person because I don't like it. See, a person that has to have everybody like what they're doing to be happy, they're messed up anyhow, and you can't fix them unless they want to change. This is what we're living in this world today, trying to keep everybody happy that ain't happy. Don't do it. If you don't like a certain thing, that's fine. You don't have to. If you don't like certain food to eat, you don't have to eat it. You don't have to get somebody else to has to like it, Certain people who eat certain, this is great, try it. And try it, and I don't, yeah. It wouldn't make me throw up, but I'm not going to, I wouldn't buy it. And I say, I think it's great. Well, it's great. You like it, and you enjoy it. People have different tastes, don't they? There's nothing wrong with that. Now it comes down to the Word. There ain't no choice there. If the Bible says it, ain't no choice. We better get liking it. But with the individuals, and do that. We get out around here. So when we're walking, it's talking about walking in line with the Word of God, the commandments that God gave. Today we have a lot of what the Pharisees and stuff did, and the scribes, they wrote a lot of laws trying to explain the law, and they added a lot to it. There's been a lot added to it today, too. So you don't have to do that. Also, we go over here, look at 3 John, because we find in 3 John, he wrote again here, it's a short letter that he wrote in 3 John. This is what he said, verse 4 again. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So John said, I have no greater joy. Now he refers to his children. In other words, there's people that really He was the founder of their faith. He's the one who preached the gospel to them first. But he said that he had no greater joy than to hear that, he said, my children walk in truth. So walking in the truth, Jesus, when he prayed in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them, speaking the Father, sanctify them by your truth, your word's truth. In other words, the following of the word of God. That's it. Here they are following what the word says. And what the word says, Jesus said that he is. So, following and walking in that. I want you to read. Let's go over to Matthew, what Jesus made some statements. Because Jesus talked about problems with the same subject matter and how to deal with it. Because what do we do? How do we identify? And so Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let's go back to Matthew 7. Jesus made the statement about it. And so really we find Jesus talking about these individuals in the, let's see, verse 15. In Matthew 7 and verse 15 says, this is Jesus, his warning. Beware of false prophets who come to you, what? In sheep's clothing. Didn't John say they come secretly in? See, they come looking like a sheep, but they ain't a sheep. They're a wolf. See, you know, we don't want to believe, you know, it isn't, I don't want to walk around looking at people all the time, are they a wolf? Or are they? You don't want to do that. But we need to be smart enough to know that there are people come in sheep's clothing. Over my years of in the ministry, I've seen them. I've seen them come. I've called people aside and talked to them already and said, knowing what they're pulling and doing, and told them, say, this is not a safe church for you to be in because I have no ministries to wolves. We kill them. We don't do, I teach sheep. We don't have a wolf ministry. There is no. I don't see any wolf ministry in the Bible. Because wolves are what? Their purpose is to go eat sheep. That's what they're going to do. That's what they've chosen to do. To go eat sheep. You know, people say, well, look what Apostle Paul did. Apostle Paul wasn't saved. These are saved people that turn around and get into error. And I tell you, what they do is they go to devour. I've never seen any of them turn around. They always keep going in that direction to eat sheep. And so I just tell them. And I don't know, it ain't because Ed's going to try to kill anybody. I ain't going to do that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. I go over to places like what Peter wrote. These guys are, they're set up for destruction. And I say, Lord, that guy needs to be removed. You said he's set up for destruction. Let's get him out of here. He's going around devouring sheep. We don't want him going off to another church. He don't repent. Uh-uh. We don't want him going someplace else. See, you know what today? The church world, let them go out and eat other sheep. Oh, we're love. We're such lovers. You know. No, man, I tell you what, I'm for the sheep and that's it. The goat better turn into a sheep or he's out too. I'm for the sheep. Because you want the sheep to make it. Jesus said, beware of these ones. They come by you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, look what it says, inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You remember Jesus talking about the Pharisees, if you go back and read about him, and he said about they whitewashed sepulchres. He said they look on the outside, they look good, but inwardly, inside, that ain't what they are. Outside, they look good, but he said they're just full of death. That's all they got, is death. That's basically what these guys, they're just full of death. But he said they're ravenous wolves. Listen to what he says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Hear that? See, the Christian, there's a difference. These people, these false prophets, what are they going to do? They don't produce good fruit. They're going to be cut down, thrown into the fire. That's why, you know, let's get them burned up out here running around, destroying other people. It says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. In other words, what it's telling you and me to do, and it, see, it, you can't do it in 10, you can't do it in 10 minutes. You watch them over time. You watch over time, and I've learned to do that. I watch things over time, watch things that are going, watch people over time. You know, just I hear, like, over the years, I've watched people talk about certain ministries on TV. Oh, the new ministry comes on, sounds wonderful, everybody's all excited, and I watch it over time. Well, we're going to see if how good it is. Let's watch what it produces. What does it start to produce? See, people get all excited. These guys come along and, oh, you're going to get rich and money and telling you how, oh, yeah, you said this is all God's going to do for you and blah, blah, blah. And after a while, you watch their fruit. They're always got their hand in your pocket. They always got their, every time they preach, their hand's in your pocket. Every time they preach, you need to send me an offering, and God will, if you send me $1,000, you do this or you do that. Oh, put it on your credit card. Yeah, go ahead. Put it on your credit card. Yeah, and they're telling you to do things. They have no business telling anybody to do any of that. There's only one thing. They're full of covetousness. That's what their problem is. They're deceitful. They're deceivers. You know what? People, you know what? I could go to most major ministers on television and you'd make mention of that person. Well, they're nice. They may be doing it wrong, but they're nice. No, they're not nice. Read what Jesus calls them. Read what Peter called them. Read what John called them. He didn't say, oh, they mean well. No, they don't. They don't view today at all, because what happens, they deceive people away. They make people become followers of money, then followers of Jesus. And when once that happens, they become easy targets to get off into other deceptions and other things. It's easy to do. So take your time when you do these things. Watch. There's nothing wrong with checking the fruit of an individual. Are they what they say they are? What do they produce? I can guarantee you. I know from things, it's just like, you know, I said this guy earlier that, you know, is teaching that you don't have to repent. I will guarantee this. He's in sin. And he's in sin. I know he's going to produce it because he don't believe in repenting from sin when you do wrong. Well, what's the outcome if you're going to reap what you sow? He's going to produce things that ain't good. He's going to produce stuff that's not good because he doesn't believe in doing, you know, we don't have to repent. So see, those things happen. You watch over time, and I'll guarantee you eventually it's going to come out. Things will come out and people say, oh, I'm shocked. You're going to have loads of Christians who are going to be surprised. Why? Because they're so stupid. They don't read what Jesus said about this stuff. They're over there reading about the money and about, oh, you know, I have 10 Cadillacs and I own a, you know, a Ferrari and I'll have this and we're just going to be this glory, live this great life, and houses and lands and, and they're not listening to about the conduct and the living life. That's not what's important to them. It's all about the stuff. You realize, I mean, that's what, whether people like it or not, isn't that what PTL became? PTL became about stuff, didn't it? Having this place you go to and parks. And there's nothing wrong with having an amusement park. But I'm going to tell you, that sure ain't why you have ministry. It sure ain't, you know, everybody living down here in this place and making all this luxury. And let's have all these hotels and all of you come down here and stay in this place. And we're going to come. It was all about money and stuff. And it ended up in there. It's about stuff. And people looked at, oh, man, I'm going to get this stuff. We're going to get down there and I'm going to give $1,000. And for the rest of my life, over $1,000, I can get a free vacation. Get real. Who in the right mind? I ain't giving my money to a ministry so people can have a free vacation every year. That ain't exactly my idea. Well, I knew that this whole thing's wrong. What it's producing is not right. But you know what? Most people were involved in it had no clue about it. They had no clue about it. Most people that were deceived in it were people who had been Christians for years. The other people got deceived into it. They didn't see it coming. And so judge things and sit down and match it up to the Word. Match it up to the Word, what these individuals, what they're doing, the stuff that they're coming along with. What spirit is it that they're operating in? Is it... I always look at this as, you know, they have all this thing. They have this thing out. They had while their, you know, kids were wearing those things. What does Jesus say? But, you know, do you ever think about that? I often listen to what preachers and preaching things that they do in ministry. And I think, would you see Jesus doing something like that? I often think, would Jesus do that? You know? Well, Jesus, I just can't see Jesus. We can't see it. We don't have it in ministry. He stood up and told the people, look, send me $1,000 and God will give you. Whoever gives me. We don't have that stuff. Well, do we see Peter doing it? Do we have John doing it? Do we have Paul doing it? Wouldn't you think we would see some of this in there? I think we would. At least we sure should. God should have gave us warning about this so we knew that. But I just have a hard time seeing Jesus like that. I just have a hard time looking at him in that way, that he's doing things like that. We know that people gave money to Jesus' ministry, but I'll tell you this. I know about Jesus, the Jesus that I serve. He don't have his hand in people's pocket. It's your choice. It always has been your choice. It's been my choice what we want to do. It's always been like that. And he said, you know, just like with the people he healed, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Not according to somebody else's faith. I don't have to match another man's faith. If I ain't there yet, I can't go there till I can arrive at that point. So going around and trying to make you do something, that there'd be dumb. Be the dumbest thing in the world. You have to go where you can walk. You can't walk where somebody else walks if you don't have the faith to do that, you know. That's why 11 disciples stayed in the boat and only one guy got out. Did you notice Jesus didn't rebuke the rest of them for not getting out of the boat? He didn't. Why? They didn't have the faith to get out. Ain't no use. If they'd have got out of the boat, he'd have been running around trying to get them all back in and keep them from drowning. If you didn't have the faith to get out of the boat, I mean, don't jump. Dear God. Until you make sure Jesus is right there. He's going to pull you out of the water. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning as we looked into the Word. Lord God, your Word is delightful to us. And I want to thank you, Lord God, as laying down these things as warnings to us. As Lord, we look at these things, especially the fruit of people, and how to judge things. And Lord God, how to judge them properly. And Father God, you know, the Word tells us with faith and patience we inherit the promises. Lord God, many times we want to have things really quick. But Lord God, we need to be patient, take our time, and looking, hallelujah. Father God, because your plan is to protect us. And that's one of the things that the Holy Ghost is in us, is to guide us and lead us into the truth. Father, we sure want to be led by the Spirit of God. And we thank you, hallelujah. Father God, that the God that saveth is well able to keep us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.